Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
Back in the 1960s, LBJ was the 36th president of the United States. And at that time, a man named Bill Moyers was his press secretary. There's a picture of LBJ and Bill Moyers. Bill Moyers was a quiet-spoken gentleman. At one time, he was a Baptist minister. And so at one particular meal, LBJ asked Moyers if he would say the blessing over the meal. And as Moyers was praying, right in the middle of his prayer, the president said, "Well, speak up, Bill, I can't hear you." To which Bill Moyers responded, "I wasn't addressing you, Mr. President." He was only the press secretary for 2 years. And I don't know if that had anything to do with it or not, but Bill Moyers made a good point. A lot of times when we think about prayer, we think about making a speech, and it's why some people just don't feel comfortable praying in public, because we sometimes have a tendency of thinking about prayer being made to a group of people or a speech before a room of people. And prayer is not making a speech to a group. Prayer is when we talk with God. Would you just say that out loud with me right where you are? Prayer is when we talk with God. And that's the way I want us to think about prayer as we enter into this little series that we're calling Talk with God at Home. I think we've got a graphic, Talk with God at Home, that you'll be seeing throughout this series. And I invite you to get into this series with us. It's going to be a great little series about learning how to pray, learning how to talk with God at home. And I invite you to turn in your Bible with me to four different places that we're going to look at. Some brief snapshots that concern how we talk with God, how we pray. They'll be on your screen. I invite you to jot them down, write them down. Psalm 100, Philippians 4, 1 John 1, and Proverbs chapter 3. And we'll get into those different snapshots in our time together. While you're finding those four places in your Bible, I want to let you know that I'm so grateful to our friends at Lake Point Church, to Dr. Steve Stroop, who shared some great resources with us and shared this powerful message, practical message about prayer that I want to share with you today. It impacted me. The words, the resources that we're sharing today and in this series are from our partnership with our friends over there. And we work toward this one goal, this same goal that we call growing strong families. So I'm hoping and I'm praying that while you're together with your family in these unique days, that you are growing stronger together rather than farther apart. And if you're going to grow strong in your family, regardless of what your current family dynamic may look like, then we must be people who are learning to talk with God at home. In fact, we want to help you do more of that. So we've made available to you some different resources to help you and to help your family and your friends be better equipped to talk with God. You can go to our website, arapahoeroad.org/homelife, and there'll be all kinds of resources there for you that can help you as you learn to talk with God better and better throughout these days. And we want to challenge each person. I want to challenge you and challenge myself to take a prayer challenge. We challenged our church to do this several years ago when we were in a series about prayer and when we were engaging around this concept of praying as a family and praying with our loved ones. And we talked about taking the challenge of becoming a 7-5-2 person. become a 752 person. Would you take that challenge to become a 752 person during this series and actually through the end of the school year? A 752 person, let me explain what that is. A 752 person means that you are going to commit, I'm going to commit from now until the end of this remaining school year to pray for your family every single day, 7 days a week. You're going to do that 7 days a week. You're going to pray for your family 7 days a week. And then you're going to commit to pray with your family 5 days a week. So with the technology that's available, even if you're sheltering in place in different homes or whatnot, or you're sharing custody with your family in some kind of a way, you can still pray through technology 5 times a week. You can pray with your family 5 times a week, whether that's FaceTime or Skype or simply with a phone call. Would you pray 5 times a week with your family? And then if you're a married couple, the two is for you to pray with your spouse alone. After sharing some prayer requests with one another, would you pray with your spouse 2 times a week? So 752, the 752 challenge, would you commit to being a 752 person for the remainder of this school year? And if you're not married, just a 75 person through the remainder of the school year. For my artists who are watching today and engaging with us online today, would you draw me a picture of where that special place in your home is that you think you like to pray the most, or that you might like to pray during this series and going forward to the end of the school year? Would you draw me a picture of where that special place is in your home? Take a picture of it and email it to me at david@arapahoeroad.org. I'd love to see what your artwork looks like and the places that you will be praying. And I really believe that if we will do this from now until the end of the school year, that it will become a holy habit in our life, and it will be something that we continue doing all the time. Now, as we begin this new series, Talk with God, I want to begin with just some very, very basics. Kind of think of it as a prayer 101, because I don't want to assume that you know what it is that the Bible actually says about prayer. When I was growing up in school, I remember that one of the things that I learned in, I think it was science or health class, was that they showed us something like this about how to eat in a balanced way. Maybe you've seen this before. You need to eat a balanced meal, and you need to have some fruits, you need to have a little bit of grain, some protein, vegetables, and be able to have a little bit of dairy in your diet. Notice that there's not any fats in there. There's not any sugars in there. Those didn't make the diagram. I guess our teachers decided and figured that, we're going to get that through just regular eating in our diet. Now, the point is this. It's not that every single meal needs to be divided out into these food groups every single time you sit down to have something to eat. But if over the period of your life, over time, if you don't have some of these different food groups, then you're not going to be a healthy person. You're going to be out of balance, especially as you get older. And we're going to have health issues when it comes to the things that we put in our body and our diets. And in the same way, I think many of us miss the fact that sometimes we don't pray with balance. We may have a tendency to come to God and pray kind of like we have a tendency to eat. Going to the same part of our prayer diet, so to speak, over and over and over again. Maybe just kind of defaulting to the junk food of prayer. And many times when we do, we come to God and we end up just asking God for a lot of things. Now, what kind of relationship would it be if you had a father or a mother or a son or a daughter or a friend, and the only time that they called you is when they wanted something from you? What kind of relationship would that really be like? Well, it wouldn't be a very healthy relationship, that's for sure. And so we want to have that kind of balance, not only in our relationships and not only in our diet, but we want to have that same kind of balance in our prayers as we learn to talk with God. And to help us have balance, I want to take the word pray, P-R-A-Y, and I want to make an acrostic out of it so that maybe it will help us remember how we can pray with balance. So let's take a look at this first one here, P-R-A-Y. Let's start by talking about praying with praise and thanksgiving as a part of our prayer. Praise and thanksgiving. If you have your Bible, would you open it up to Psalm 100? Psalm 100. I love what Psalm 100 verse 4 says. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name." Now, obviously, praise and thanksgiving, those are two different parts of that balance, but oh, are they so important? They're so important, and they're together, even though we at times tend to neglect them in our prayer times. We always have a tendency to ask God for things, and yet we neglect to come back to God when God does bless us or give us something. And we neglect coming back to say, "Hey, thank you, God. Thank you for answering my prayer." Very few of us probably make it a habit of praising God in our prayers on a regular, daily basis. You see, praise has to do with who God is and not so much what it is that God has done. And to come before God and to just to begin to cite or to speak out some of his great attributes and to say, you know, "God, you're so creative. God, you're so wise. God, you're all powerful and you're loving and you're all knowing. And God, you are faithful and you're reliable. You're ever present, God. God, you're so truthful," and on and on and on. There's so many things that we can talk with God about in our praise, reminding ourselves, declaring to God in praise to him as we pray. And when we do this, a side effect that begins to happen is that when we praise God in our prayers, our God begins to get bigger in our minds than maybe we've been thinking about him. And as God begins to get bigger in our minds, well, guess what starts to happen to the challenges in our life? That's right. Our challenges begin to get smaller and smaller. And so this is a healthy benefit of praising God, even though at first it may even sound or feel a bit artificial, if we're not used to doing that already. But praising God as we talk with God, it'll become just like riding a bike. And if we'll begin to do it, well, then soon we'll just see it becoming a natural response. And then you'll not forget how to do it. It'll just happen as a part of your day all throughout your day. Praising God. And then we want to talk about thanking God. Thanking God is a natural part of our prayer and talking with God. Thanking God, it's a natural part of healthy relationships. All throughout the Bible, we see God encouraging his people to remember what God has already done. For instance, when the children of Israel, when they came across the Jordan River, were told that they stacked stones. It's an interesting story. They crossed the Jordan River and they stacked stones once they got to the other side. They did this as a way to remember. To remember in the days to come when they would talk with their children and they would walk by the riverbank, they would be able to tell them and they would help them remember with them what God had done for them during a time of crisis in their life. how God remained faithful to them, and they needed to remember that special moment from their past. And to this day, thousands of years later, the Jewish people still celebrate the Passover as they remember what it is that God did. And they take the different elements of their Passover meal. They take the elements of that meal, and each element helps them to remember different parts from their story and different aspects of God's faithfulness. So when our family sits down to have a meal together, and yes, we've got to make it a priority. If we're not careful, we'll all be on our TV trays in front of our devices in different parts of the room. And sometimes you need a little space, but if we're not careful, that will become our default. And so we need to be intentional about gathering around our dinner table together, prioritizing a meal time in the midst of a crazy time in our lives. And when we do that as a family, when we sit down together, oftentimes we'll play this little game that we call high and low. And we'll just go around the table and we'll ask each other, hey, what was the high point of your day today? What was the low point of your day today? And it's just a great opportunity to be able to connect with each other and to hear how things are going, the good and the bad, the things that bring us up and some of the things that have brought us low. And we oftentimes will pray about both of those high things and the low things at the mealtime, or maybe it's a little bit later on when we're getting ready for bed and we pray together as a family before bedtime. And when it comes to talking with God in prayer, sometimes we have a tendency about talking more about our lows than we do about our highs. And we find ourselves sometimes getting out of balance and asking Him to help us with the lows, but not really remembering to thank Him for the highs. And a healthy and a balanced relationship shares both the lows and the highs. And when you and I, when we talk with God, we are cultivating a relationship with God. And a healthy and a balanced relationship talks about the lows, talks about the highs, asking for help with the lows and giving thanks as we remember the highs. So that P reminds us to talk to God in prayer with praise and thanksgiving. And then we move on to the R. To the R. The R reminds us to request some things. To request some things as we're praying. Turn in your Bible to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, it's in the New Testament. Philippians 4, let's look what it says in verse 6. Philippians 4, verse 6 says this about prayer. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So obviously, we can make requests on our own behalf, and we can make requests on behalf of others. When we make requests to God on our own behalf, that's talking about supplication. We saw that in verse 6. But when we're praying for somebody else, when we're lifting somebody else's needs, somebody else's life, somebody else's lows up to God, that's called intercession. Intercession. And some of us need some balance when it comes to our requesting, because when we talk with God, maybe we find ourselves being a bit self-centered as we only talk to God and make requests about things in our own life. And if we're going to be balanced in our prayer, we not only want to make requests about our own life, we want to be praying for the requests of others and pray for somebody else and what they're going through and what their needs are. In fact, the Bible even says, and this is hard to imagine, but it's the scripture says it, that we need to even pray for our enemies. The people that are against us, the people that we have a difficult time with, those are the people that also we need to be praying for. That's part of our responsibility as we talk with God. Let's keep moving through our prayer acrostic, and let's look at the A. The A stands for admit. Admit. Turn over in your Bible in the New Testament to 1 John. 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. Let's look at two verses. 1 John 1, verses 8 and 9. It says this, 1 John 1, verse 8 and 9. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, underline that word confess. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's a great verse, a great scripture to memorize. It says, confess, if we confess our sins. The word confess, it means to agree with God. You might want to jot that down. Confess means to agree with God. So let's talk about that as we're talking about praying and learning to talk with God and admitting, confessing, agreeing with God. If we agree with God, that means we're going to say the same thing that God says. Yes, God, I agree with you. This thing or that thing, it doesn't have any place in my life. I agree with you, God. How I think about this, God. How I manage my finances, God. How I do things. What I watch. God, I agree with you. I confess. I admit. I had no reason to do that thing or watch that thing or participate in that thing. It's not who I am. It's not who you created me to be. It's not what you desire for me, God. I agree with you. I confess. I confess. As we read through the scripture, we read that God tells us that we are saved by grace. Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9 talks about being saved by grace. And we sure don't have to confess every single sin in order to be sure that we're going to heaven. I mean, what if we forgot something? That's not what Scripture's talking about. Friends, when you put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, you ask Him to be your personal Lord and Savior. When you do that in your life, know this. All of your sin, past, present, and future, are forgiven. All of your sin, all of your past sins are then forgiven. And there's a sense in which all of your future sins, future tense, are forgiven as well. So why does God ask us as believers in Jesus to confess and to admit our sin? Here's why. It's because it's important for our relationship. Just like it's important for us to praise God, and when we do, our God gets bigger and our problems get smaller. And it's important to thank God for His faithfulness in the past because it gives us confidence for our future. God also wants us to admit when we have been wrong. Because when we do, then we are acknowledging, we are agreeing with God that we now are changing our ways to align our life with His ways so that our fellowship with God will no longer be broken. That's really important. Our fellowship with God being in right alignment, being in good standing. You see, friends, not admitting your sin once the Holy Spirit convicts you of it, and then agreeing with God about that, if we don't do that, it means our fellowship with God has been broken. It's been affected until we come back around to His way of looking at things, His way of thinking about things, His way of identifying and defining sin. Sin is anything God doesn't want us to do, say, or think, that we just decide to do, say, or think. Sin's anything that we do, say, or think that God's going, I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to say that. I don't want you to think that. Those are sinful thoughts. And when we confess, we agree with God on what His definition of sin is. Now, please hear me on this. It doesn't mean if you sin and don't confess, don't admit, don't agree with God, that doesn't mean that your relationship as a daughter of God, a son of God, changes. No, once God adopts you as His own at the point of your salvation, you never get unadopted. He never puts you back on the curb. He never says, you're no longer welcome here. Your relationship status as a son or a daughter of the King never changes. But your fellowship with your Heavenly Father can change. Your fellowship with the King is changed until you agree that the sin in your life is not God's best for you. That's why it's so important to confess when we sin, to agree with God, because it puts our fellowship with God back in a good place. And it allows us to change our heart and our mind to be in alignment with our Heavenly Father's. Let's look at the last letter. The last word in our prayer acrostic is yield. Yield. Let's turn over in our Bibles to the Old Testament and let's look at Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says this. Another great couple of memory verses here. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, talking about yielding in our prayer life. It says this: trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make straight your paths. Love those scripture memories, those scripture verses. I've committed those to memory. I encourage you to commit those to memory. Write those out, put them on your refrigerator or someplace where you'll see them. And it will help you yield to God with your life and allow yielding to God to be a part of your prayer life. This is about looking to the future as you talk with God. It's about saying, God, I'm not going to go my way. I'm not going to rely on my intellect, my own wisdom. Instead, I'm going to go ahead and just say yes right now to your ways, God, versus my ways. I'm declaring up front, yes, God, you show me where sin is and I will turn away from it. Yes, Lord, I will take advantage of the opportunities that you give me today. So Lord, whatever your will is and wherever you're leading me today, my answer as I pray to you right now is yes. Yes, before I ever get to that opportunity, before I ever cross paths with whatever you have in store for me. Now, I want you to do something with me. I want you to look at these four different components of prayer: praise and thanksgiving, requests, admit, and yield. Look at them there for just a moment. As we look through those elements that we've been talking about today, when it comes to talking with God as you pray, where do you have a tendency to default? Where do you tend to go the most as you are learning to pray, as you're trying to pray, as you're learning to talk with God? As you talk with God, do you tend to praise Him and give Him thanks, or do you tend to just make a lot of requests? Do you tend to just always talk about your sin, or do you always talk with him about, God, whatever you want me to do, that's what I'm going to do? Where do you tend to go first? What do you tend to do the most? Here's what I invite you to do. Identify where you go the most. And this week, would you pick one of these other places and begin to get a little more balance in your prayer life? Pick the one that you think you neglect the most. Where do you need to decide today that you intentionally are going to drill down there? You're going to begin to talk with God about that specific aspect of your life in your prayer time as you are talking with God this week. I'm going to be intentional about this. I'm going to be intentional about that one. Which one is it for you? Which one is going to help you become more balanced as you talk with God and you cultivate a relationship with him, as you continue to try to become a 7-5-2 praying person this week? Would you commit yourself to do that, to eat your veggies, to have a little fruit, to make sure you get some protein, make sure you get some grain and a little bit of dairy in your spiritual diet so that you can begin to be balanced as you learn to talk with God this week? I'd love to pray for you and with you before we go our ways today. Would you bow your head? Would you pray with me? Let's pray together just for a moment. Lord, I thank you for my friends who are with me online today. Thank you for the community that's gathering all over the place as we connect online. And we find ourselves in community, and we desire to live on mission for you. And Lord, we just praise you today. We thank you today for who you are and for what you've done. Thank you for reminding us that you're a great God. And the more we praise you, the bigger you will get in our mind, and the smaller our problems will begin to seem. Lord, we do want to make requests of you. We want to pray that you would keep us healthy, Lord, that you would give us wisdom, and that you would heal our land. Lord, that you would be with those who are on the front lines today, serving people who are hurting and sick and in need of help. Lord, we lift them up to you, and I pray for my friends and all of their needs wherever they are right now. And Lord, we admit there are places in our life where we just are out of alignment with you. And so I pray, Lord, as you bring those things to our mind, to our heart, that we will confess them. We will agree with you, and we will restore fellowship with you. Lord, we want to be in alignment with you. And Lord, just know our yes is on the table. We yield to you whatever it is that you desire for us to be about today, to do today, to speak a word of encouragement to someone that comes across our path, that we connect with online, maybe that you bring to our mind that we need to pick up a phone and call or connect on FaceTime with. Lord, whatever it is, we yield our lives to you. And I pray that my friends listening online today would do the same. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for this opportunity to pray together, and we'll continue to do so as we take the challenge to be 7-5-2 people from today through the end of this school year. We love you, Jesus, and it's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning worship service at 10:45 a.m. We hope you'll join us this week.